Greetings, everyone. Are you ready for an accelerated course in higher consciousness? This is how our global village will get ahead of the accelerated rate of change we are now seeing in the world. It won't be with the same consciousness that created the problems we see. It will be with a new consciousness that is now evolving with the angels of our better nature. Welcome to Cosmic Love. Have you ever considered what will happen when the language of cosmic love becomes common sense with a common language? Are you aware that this love language is, in fact, the learning process, the creative process, and the processes of consciousness at the quintessential foundation of self-governance? Think about that. Such a language of consciousness has the potential to involve and evolve our individual and collective consciousness. This is what cosmic love is all about, higher conscience. Give yourself a checkup from the neck up. What do you think will happen to your world and the world at large as we become more conscious of how we are conscious, both individually and collectively? I'll give you a big hint. Take a good look at the worldwide web of consciousness that the internet has created. Consider this new net reality for what it truly is. A global revolution in higher consciousness. The instant, everywhere, interactive internet has eliminated space and time. We're all connected in a global village now. All knowledge is at your fingertips. Knowledge power as never before known to humanity. But where's the cosmic love, you may ask? There's a new net reality shaping the consciousness of humanity. Freedom to know better and the opportunity to do better has far outpaced the ability of our core institutions to keep up with the revolutionary capabilities for all humanity. That's what the internet represents, the evolving consciousness of humanity, the collective consciousness of humanity, and the collective future of humanity. That's where cosmic love comes in. Any good metaphysician with his finger on the pulse of humanity could tell you that. If you step out of the box of contemporary groupthink and if you become an objective observer of the evolutionary ascent of net reality caused by the internet, you will not only see a huge wave of change coming, but also the nature of that change and the role that cosmic love will play in change events. There is a natural evolutionary path to these changes. Cosmic love is a blueprint for that change. It always has been. But humanity is just beginning to grasp the multidimensional consciousness required to navigate the vast, uncharted realm of inner space, the internet, at the heart of the internet. This is the new global village consciousness that is defining the collective conscience of humanity. Let's get real. Net reality is what we make it. Where do you think it's going? How do you think we'll get through the birth pangs of a new world being born? Are you ready for the next big thing in the computer internet revolution? Would you agree that the best way to predict the future is to create it? Cosmic love is the answer to these questions. All I ask is that you listen and learn. See how you can catch the biggest wave of opportunity in history. I'll explain how you can ride that wave for phenomenal win-win benefits for yourself and all humanity. Those hearing this are obviously computer literate, so connect the dots. Get a grip on the net reality of global connection with the benefits of cosmic love. Someone has to do it. May it begin with us, united sovereigns in a united state of cosmic love. Always victory when we love enough, keep the faith, get the vision, embrace the virtue, make the vow, and claim the victory of cosmic love in your world and the world at large.
Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy with Cosmic Love. I've got an interesting host on today. We've got Dennis Korn, the founder of Alpenair Food Reserves. And I've got a bio up on the Cosmic Love website on Dennis, and it goes through his history. You can read that for yourself. We'll be talking about different aspects of that. He's been deeply involved in since 1975 with the natural foods industry and the creation of Alphanair Foods and his Gourmet Food Reserves division. Dennis, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Dennis.
Oh, good to talk to you.
Oh, you too. This is an interesting subject right now. Dennis is actually an expert. We were just before the show talking about his master's thesis in which he went into 56 contemporary apocalyptic scenarios facing.
That was my appendix.
That was your
thing.
That was just your appendix.
Yeah, just one of the appendix.
Dennis is teaching. I guess one of the things he does is with his master's degree, he's teaching. What is it? Philosophy.
Philosophy. Yeah, I teach both ethics and critical thinking.
And ethics and critical thinking.
Right.
Well, we definitely need some critical thinking on the regarding the straight skinny on the deep doo doo. What's going on with the world economic crisis? And this is a subject that could definitely use some very congruent thinking, critical
right.
thinking. So I'd like to throw some scenarios at you. I'm sure you've got some of your own and what's possible, what's probable. And what do you think is going to happen?
What do I think is going to happen? Well,
yeah,
I think it's going to go one of two ways. I mean, this is just very, very general. Either there will be a rising up of, you would call it consciousness, or people becoming more responsible for what's going on. And there could be, an effect as it goes around and around. It seems to affect everyone. The other direction would be for those who have read Brave New World by Aldous Huxley. We have a very repressive, totalitarian, world order here, and it could go either way. I'm optimistic in the very long run, of course. I think ultimately good will win out over evil.
Yeah.
But in the short term, I'm not so optimistic. My biggest concern as I look at all this, and we all often tend to say, oh, look at these leaders, they don't have the interests of the people in mind, look at all the institutions, the universities, so forth. The point is that people continue to support this. I think one thing to be looked at in this election is you're all the time about the legislators and their ratings, 9%, 10% approval, very, very low.
Yeah, lower than Bush.
Horribly low.
Yeah.
And yet, what's the reelection rate of an incumbent legislator? 98%? It's horrendously high.
Yeah.
And
once they get in there, they've got lots of money.
What does this tell you about the folks out there on the street? I mean, obviously the alternative, the media and so forth, you read about it, it's horrible. All these scenarios are put out right in front of the folks. But the reality is that they seem to continue to be reelected, and I think that says a lot of things.
Yeah,
at a higher level.
I read an article today about Robert Kennedy Jr. and some other expert on the Gregory Palast, I think it was, regarding the rigging of the elections. As far as not just this wasn't dealing with the ballot boxes, but other dimensions of it, and how, in a sense, it may or may not be determined by public will anyway.
Well, yeah, that's a whole other way
of
looking at things.
Of it.
And I have said one of the classic things I bring up in the class all the time, and within discussion or whatever, it's the question of who do you trust? And we live in times where it's very difficult to know who to trust. We all have to kind of sit down for a moment and in a quiet time and say, well, who do I believe? Do they believe you? Me?
Yeah.
Do they believe some of these alternative websites? Do they believe the mainstream media? And you don't know what to trust.
Or what to believe.
I think one thing that I have seen that it just makes me, I'm just amazed by it, is we all know that the media, the government, so forth, is not very honest. But the blatant dishonesty and lying
Yeah.
Is just in my adult life, I've never seen anything
like that. I've never seen anything like the last 8 years.
They don't even try to hide anything anymore. It's just right out in front of your face.
It's in your face. And,
absolute lying and absolute deception.
But the last dregs of the political debate, I mean, the stuff I'm seeing, the websites that have been created that are just so just demolishing, you know, the character with a lot of just abject lies.
It's, in ethics, it's the classic case, an unethical scenario here. Of the end justifying the means.
Yeah.
And so you have folks out there saying, well, we must have our candidate win regardless of the methodology we use to happen. Cheating, lying, fraud, doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
It doesn't matter what the truth is. People are more motivated by what they fear could be rather than, you know, what they actually hope or believe since they don't know, you know, what really is. It's the lowest part of human nature, you know, the fears and it's cherished illusions, I call it, you know, or BS as a belief system.
So truth is becoming something that even the average citizen on the street does not have the ability to discern what is going on, and discernment becomes one of those.
Discernment is, was the second or first gift of the Holy Spirit.
The old saying, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Well, even biblically, it's kind of interesting. I've obviously studied a lot of these, the biblical situation as we have it. And that is a sign of... I can't say we're the last days. We may be. That's a whole other discussion. But it's interesting. One of the characteristics, of course, is the hatred of the truth. And I think one of the things that is brought out also is the amount of deception that will be rampant. The deception will be so great that I don't think people fully comprehend how deep we can be.
Well, it's just like the whole smoke and mirrors regarding the economy, and we were told over and over by the financial gurus, you know, the last several weeks, well, this is a very complex subject, and they're not going to make the complex simple, because if we really understood, people really understood it, I think they would be so outraged that, you know, they'd hang them from the nearest lamp.
Oh, exactly. And then, of course, they're going to say, well, what do the experts say? And once again, who do you believe? Who do you trust?
Who do you believe?
Who are you going to listen to on the radio or on television or whatever that's actually going to clarify for you the truth of what's going on?
And I think a big part of that is what people want to believe. What they want to believe becomes more true than what really is. So the way they both candidates frame things is telling people, you know, what they want to hear, what they want to believe. And I was just amazed on Thursday when Paul Volcker came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was 18 years, you know, Fed chairman.
Right.
And, of course, all these financial policies, you know, were basically touted by him, you know, the core of policies, you know, over the years, you know, his whole thing about, you know, the free enterprise and free markets. And he came out and said, "Well, you know, I was wrong."
Yeah, Greenspan. I think said the same thing.
Pardon?
Greenspan.
Greenspan.
Who was the Fed chairman there for so long?
Oh
yeah. Well, we kind of missed it a little bit.
kind of missed it.
Gee, that gives me a lot of assurance that these fellows are really, really on the ball. So.
Well, you know, and the thematic. Stand was that, well, Volcker was saying that this whole process of what's happened. He says, I'm just in shock. He said, I mean, you talk about BS or belief system.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
exactly.
The fact that he could be incredulous to what they were creating, you know, in real time as they were watching it happen, and what he was saying was what he was in shock about. It was that the self-interest of the banking institutions themselves did not look out for the stockholders. And, you know, it's, and this concept of self-interest, I like to think, you know, enlightened self-interest. There's self-interest and enlightened self-interest.
Right.
But the self-interest in this case, the way the, you might say, a kind of a class warfare was taking place. Then the rich had been getting richer, and the middle class had been, you know, been shrinking and up against the wall. No real income raises, you know, for the average American since, what was it, the mid-1970s?
Right.
While there was a whole new class of profiteers, war profiteers, banksters, you know, insiders, making fortunes that are so far beyond what the average American makes, they can hardly conceive it.
I don't think the average person fully comprehends. We can talk about it, and you read here and there, but really fully comprehends the delusional nature of the way these people see the
world. I can barely hear you.
I was saying I think it's people. It's very difficult for them to comprehend.
Yeah.
The delusion under which these people operate under.
Yeah,
I mean, we kind of try to figure it out. In order to truly comprehend it, you almost have to kind of give up your own way of looking at the world, your own world views, your own perceptions. And you say, okay, now how do these guys sitting up there in Washington or wherever they're sitting, and how do they see the world?
Yeah, their world view.
It's so difficult for us to fully comprehend that.
Yeah.
Because if we began to really try to attempt to comprehend it, It's so against our own inward notion of what is true and right and noble and that sort of thing. The self-interest of these folks is beyond comprehension,
beyond comprehension.
I think, to the average person. They are so deluded. They are so self-centered and so much into their own worldview and their need to reinforce and validate their whole lifestyle. It's beyond most of us trying
there's,
to
there's
figure
almost
it out.
Like a supremacist mindset that they live in a different world than they do. But
exactly.
And that they have, you know, rights or privileges that are above and beyond the ken of, you know, the average human.
Well, that's a whole other thing. Of course, you're just a little guy. I'm a little guy. We don't amount to a whole lot. We're there for their benefit, and therefore, it is this whole elitist thinking. This idea that they're privileged to know what's good for you, what's good for them.
Yeah.
And what do you know? And if you reinforce that. If you constantly reinforce that mindset,
it becomes a comfort. You know, it almost becomes a comfort zone that, or a self-image that is a sense of separation from, you know, this whole other world. And then in the meantime, we look up to them as the experts.
Yeah, well, that's and we have to take responsibility. And I say, I mean, one of the classes, we have to take responsibility. For knowing how to perceive, I say discern what's going on, and I think one of the key issues that frustrates so many people is everybody seems to be relatively helpless in this process. And you know, we talked before, what can the average person do in a time like this? And you feel that these people are going to get reelected, if that mattered at all anyway.
Yeah.
But they're still going to get reelected.
Or they're front men.
Yeah, and really what's going on behind the scenes seem to be so disconnected from the average person's life, then we seem to have to look at our own local world that we live in.
Our own little world.
Family, local communities. Whatever, and start there. And something you said earlier, I think is important to understand here. I wrote this a long time ago, just in one sentence thing I thought was interesting. A predominant theme in the quest for comfort and reassurance in light of today's perceived concerns is the deep need for hope. We happen to have mentioned that and talked about it before.
Yeah.
People need hope. I mean, you can discuss that philosophically all day long, but given the scary, fearful scenarios that could possibly unfold, people are very, very insecure, and they seek peace of mind, and they seek hope. Without it, you know, they're left twisting in the wind.
Then it's like the frustration and anger helplessness and hopeless. I mean, it's like a bottomless pit. I think that's why there's so much interest in the elections. Because, I mean, back to the responsibility issue, it's about the only way people can respond once every 4 years for a president, you know, in a comprehensive way for the man at the top. Right.
What can you do where you are to think you're making a difference?
That's right.
In the big picture,
yeah,
is to get out there and vote for president. Well,
yeah.
I think maybe at some point that happened, but in the modern times, that does not seem to matter a whole lot.
Well, the choices are pretty well rigged. The expression I use sometimes is that the most common feeling is of the sheeple, you know, the people,
right,
is that they fail to see past the mask of the wolves in sheep's clothing, who live on mutton and lamb chops.
Right.
You know, in other words, and this is the thing with light bearers in general. They see everyone as light bearers. You know, people that are, you know, pure in heart, you know, have a tendency to see, you know, they don't tend to see evil. They tend to see the good in people rather than the bad in people. And I think this comes... This is a big discernment issue, you know. I mean, if you're, the expression is, you know, man of God sees God in all man.
Right.
But then again, you know, it's really easy to get cynical to where you look at everyone like, well, they could be.
Well, you know, what you're saying, of course, is very true. And in one of the issues that we talk about all the time here in the class and so forth is, of course, the power, if you want to use that word, of thought. And thought, in my opinion, does have dominion over behavior.
Yeah.
And when you have people that have apocalyptic thoughts, they are going to produce apocalyptic actions. So
they're
going to
interject and project.
Yeah, so if you have loving, righteous, noble thoughts, it's going to produce righteous, noble actions.
Yeah.
Regardless of the circumstances.
Regardless of the circumstances.
You and I talked about Frankl, who wrote
Victor Frankl
wrote Man's Search for Meaning.
Man's Search for Meaning, yeah.
In the his context of the concentration camps during you know, the Holocaust. And yet it was essential in the last opportunity, the last control or choice people had was their attitude. So,
yep.
Regardless of the circumstances, as we've talked before, choice is a major component of all kinds of ethical analysis and study. Either you have free will or some degree of choice, or you live a totally deterministic life. And in the study of ethics, if you believe totally in determinism, in other words, you have no choices. The circumstances around you determine everything. Then what's the point of studying ethics? What's the point of determining how you're going to live your life, how you're going to see your life, the thoughts in your life? Because you have given up and totally abdicated your responsibility to choose. And so I think this is an important theme here during these very troubled times, is that you need to choose the kind of thoughts which are going to be reassuring, helpful. That doesn't mean that, you know, things are going to fall apart all around you.
Yeah.
But what's going to be your attitude? How are you going to relate to it? Are you going to be able to function? Are you going to be able to, you know, reassure your family, your friends? Are you going to sit around like a bowl of jelly, or are you going to actually get out there and do something?
So the greatest power we really have moment to moment is the power of choice. And the compass for that choice is one's attitude, and I use the expression, it's not aptitude, but one's attitude that determines our altitude, whether we soar with the eagles or scratch with the turkeys.
Yeah, no, that's great. I like that. It's and that's right. And it's very easy, as they say, to kind of give up and say, oh, things are horrible. I just don't want to. It's much energy. I've often thought it fascinating. This is just a little something to think about. When you look out there and you see, we call it good and evil, and I know a lot of people don't think there's evil, they don't think there's good, it's all the same. Well, I do believe that there is good and there is evil.
Yeah.
And so if you go out there and you look at the good and evil in the world, those who tend to be good people, they tend to be religious perhaps, they tend to really look out for others, they go along, and here comes an evil action or an evil individual, and we're talking about the economy, talking about the people behind the scenes. They have a tremendous...
I can barely hear you again.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm so far away from you here, I guess.
Okay.
The line is... that should be... I'll just speak closer to the phone here. So what happens is the folks that have all this desire for dominance and so forth seem to have a tremendous amount of energy, a tremendous amount of drive and motivation.
Yeah.
Look at the classic situation around the world today. I don't want to get too much into it, but the terrorism, the justification terrorists seem to have for their worldview.
Yeah.
These people are highly motivated. They have everything at stake, their future, their afterlife, everything else. Very motivated, very high energy. And yet so many people are very apathetic, and that becomes a major issue.
Yeah.
And if you've studied some of these cycles of civilizations and so forth, one of the last throes of a civilization is apathy.
And indifference, yeah.
And indifference, and after that comes totalitarianism,
yeah.
And it's all over. And we seem, unfortunately...
At that stage.
Yeah, the quote, good people and the concerned individuals are very apathetic, and either they're... And that doesn't mean they can't go out and in fact, form communities or have friends and really work on how they see the world, their consciousness, their... doing something for somebody. And as we talked about Frankl, you need... There's a relationship involved. There's action... There's relationship, and then there's attitude. And so it's important to have a relationship. You can't just stay there by yourself and say, oh, yes, I wish the world would get better. You got to go out there and develop relationships and in action. And then realize that the enemy, if you want to use it, whatever that is going to be highly motivated and highly energized. And so we have a responsibility. We've got to get off the couch and actually do something.
My best understanding of the definition of enlightened relationships is the definition of the Holy Spirit as love in action.
Exactly.
In other words, the concept of love is by itself is just but without there's a pink flame to it, it's soft, it's nurturing. Action has a blue flame to it, it's dynamic, and you combine that, and blue and yellow, or blue and pink makes violet, which is another, people that have the Holy Spirit in their auras, or those who have second sight know that they have violet in their auras.
Right.
So it's like the pink and the blue, makes violet, and the love in action is the Holy Spirit. And of course, in relationships, and how to culture that is, there's a dynamic there that, with all the change that's going on, the process of change as it accelerates with the nature of the global village we live in, the instant everywhere interactive, and that's the action part, the interactive connection of everyone everywhere. And that connection is accelerating, and I really believe it's creating a massive amount of this accelerating process is creating a massive amount of confrontation of our cherished illusions because we can't ignore them any longer.
Well,
hello?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm calling from Canada, and my name's Noella.
Okay.
And I'm interested in what you were talking about, and, you know, the sheeple and wake-up people. And I'm just wondering why Obama is even in the race. Like, I thought he wasn't even American.
Well, I've heard things about the birth certificates of both Obama and McCain. McCain apparently was born in the Panama Canal Zone, and according to the Constitution,
Okay.
So there's an issue about both of them as far as their birth goes.
Right. So if they weren't born in America, is it true they couldn't run?
Well, at this point, we got a big show going here.
That is a major. By the way, a little bit of a twist to that. You know, there was a lawsuit by a Democratic former attorney, deputy attorney general in Pennsylvania.
I saw that. Yeah.
Yes, and he was basically wanted to see the records. In other words, he challenged Obama's citizenship.
Yeah.
Now
to show a birth certificate.
Yeah, that lawsuit was just thrown out today.
It was just thrown out today.
Yeah, so...
Well, that should be like a light bulb out there that, you know, this
you
is
have
not
things.
Constitutional, and
well,
are they getting away with it?
Yeah, they're getting away with it because there is a program behind the scenes much greater than we
Constitution.
See at our level. Yeah, the Constitution. I used to have a bumper sticker that said, U.S. Constitution, void, we're prohibited by law. And, the Constitution, unfortunately, is not the way it used to be, but that's a whole other discussion.
Yeah, the fix is in a lot more ways than the election.
Yeah, that's right. And so there's a lot behind the scene. You're right, though. Is he really a citizen? And there is laws that... he was not a natural-born citizen, and yet, at this point in time, I don't know if the powers that be could afford such a revelation.
Yeah, it's the same. Actually,
so they're gonna quell it.
I saw an in-depth article on the same thing with McCain and how the laws of the Constitution that someone is born in the and this was the law specific in regard to the Panama Canal Zone. They weren't authorized, you know, as, you know, they weren't validated or they weren't recognized as an American citizen. And that is a, you know, again, it's like it's a territory that's not considered a state or a, and so there's, I mean, but there, you can go down the line of both McCain and Obama, pros and cons on every single issue. And I've done that to the extent that I just about have a headache.
Have you heard of the suggestion that Obama uses hypnotic
his
movements?
What?
There was something on you know, the internet about Obama using hypnotic gestures.
Oh yeah, I got three posts from different people on
that
issue.
Yeah.
And
I'll say goodbye because I want to hear your comment, but I feel silly holding on here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. But
well, I'll go into that a little bit.
Okay.
Thank
great.
You.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah, I got three posts on that, and I looked at them real carefully, and I'm thinking, you know, if there was, I'm not, you know, and I'm not saying, I mean, Obama has great, great oratory skills, and he really has a way of connecting that, you know, a lot of people would say, is enlightened and balanced, and yet the other side of that is that other people would hear Obama, and if there's a fear element that you know, and this is what's being played, the fear card's being played real heavy right now, and I sometimes think if Christ were alive today, not saying that Obama is the Christ, but if he were alive today. And if he really connected like a Sermon on the Mount with the masses, with the Holy Spirit. I'll bet if there was money changers or tax collectors in the audience, they'd be having a real problem with this guy. In other words, there is, you know, I'm thinking about what it is that people fear about the government in general and Obama in particular.
Well, you know, I tell you, Chris, I've mentioned it to you before, and I have thought very much about the state of affairs we're in right now, and you know, studied a lot of writings and so forth, and I'm continually amazed by what you're talking about. How people seem to be mesmerized by certain people, and I would look in and say, what in the world? Well, it's biblically, once again, I want to use the Bible here. You mentioned it, Ephesians 6:12.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the war is not with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare going on here.
Principalities of darkness.
That's absolutely, and it's going on in another dimension, in another space, whatever you want to call it. And what we see in front of our very eyes, and I think it's become more and more prevalent. That's why we look out there, and lying is blatant, deception is blatant. Some people, though, they just fall right along. You use the term sheeple.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean? Why is a person so blind to what's going on? Because ultimately, the warfare is not it's about flesh and blood.
It's not of the eyes, it's of the spirit.
And so you could get into an interesting discussion about, you know, where are you? Where, rhetorically, you? Where is a person at in terms of their spiritual development, their honest, sincere desire to know the truth? And if you have given up, just use the term, to the dark side.
Yeah,
and the dark side doesn't have to look like a bunch of demons and guys with horns and tails.
Well, the dark side can
be very light. It can appear to be a very, very alluring. And I
well,
you
if
know,
people are full of fear, they're going to interject and project the fear, on the greatest hope, they're going to interject and project their greatest fears. The greater the image of hope or promise, we get another caller.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hi. Hey, hello there.
Hello, my name is Lynn, Mystic Healer, and I've got a spiritual emergency training program.
Okay.
It's a soul activation process, and it will change the whole dynamic. It goes way beyond any politics. It's mind, body, a soul vibration network that is an intergalactic source.
Okay.
And we all have connection to this divinity, our God self, our soul self, and it's the Holy Spirit realm.
So you're going to explain what's really going on in the world?
Yes. Well, what's really going on is the ego madness has just gotten to a point of darkness, that the light workers and the light is coming in, and the light beings are here, the Holy Spirit realm is here, and the cosmic love vibration and the knowingness with the internet service. Thank you. Is happening, and we have an eternal soul, everyone. The soul vibration is connected to everyone's breath, and this process that I'm working on, I'm trying to get it into the healthcare industry. It will bring in the light workers, and they can get new jobs. We've got to create new jobs that focus on the love and life vibration.
Well, could you send me at my email address? It's on the website. Could you send me some information about this?
I will. It will help change the universe inside out from each person's soul vibration network. So there's lots of hope. It's beautiful where we're going. And the more people that can shine their light, use their power, and shine their light, and remember why they're here, all the answers are inside each person's soul vibration to shift everything.
Well, thank you.
Everything.
Thank you.
Lots of hope, lots of inspiration. Everything's in the light and love and information, the soul matrix of every person. Their identity, their real purpose, and everything will shift.
Thank you for increasing our awareness.
It's fabulous. It's fabulous. It works, and we need new jobs that focus on that.
Just before you called, I was going to share with Dennis that I really believe that's what's going on. It's kind of along the same lines of what you were saying, is that there is an energy coming in, you know, the cosmic cycles, time cycles, the internet, whatever, that this connection, there's this there's connect, and there's a matriculation of the energy. All that's less than light, all that's less than one connected, all that's less than, you know, this whole new spirit that's basically, you know, this whole theme of that we are one people. We're not race divided, you know, sex, whatever divided. And there's this new sense of connection that's starting to cut through the sense of separation and suffering and just really cut through. And the people that are stuck in that sense of separation and suffering, their stuff is right on the surface. It's coming up. It's for transmutation. And the economy, healthcare, and all these different institutions that no longer serve the purpose for which they were created, they've hit the wall. And it's really, you know, it's just on the surface that the dysfunction.
Yes.
And it's also important, I mean, important to understand. I think this is, of course, extremely valuable that folks are drawn to the truth, they're drawn to the light. And yet, the darkness, once again, I mean, there is, in my opinion, a good and an evil. Now, if we're looking at the growth of the good, the growth of the truth, the light, the darkness does not just sit there and let it happen.
Yeah.
There will be a tremendous amount of resistance, the goal of the dark is to keep you away
from
the light.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so all of this darkness is going to come in there, and it's going to attempt to keep you from growth and from your potential. And so
we have to
be very careful on that.
I know. I've personally experienced a lot of that. The truth is, so there's 300 cities that have already passed peace resolutions that are directly taking money away from the Pentagon and Defense Department and using it, and they're looking for peace projects. This is a healing peace project that can be fast and used efficiently and quickly. And light workers can do it in a weekend. They can learn the training. They're already close or have certain parts of it. But the answers for inside each person, if someone's angry, their answers are inside of them. If they're sick, their answers are inside of them. Whatever is going on, they can go into past lives, future times. Whatever they need is inside of that person. So it's just getting the knowledge out there. And this process I developed is packaged so that it can be used and developed into all the peace cities worldwide and get people activated in love. And what is love? What isn't? And use their psychic powers with each other and really claim back the power of what is loving and what isn't. And let go, let God, and use that vibration, the soul vibration. Ego has got to be put in its place. It's very fearful, limited, very reactive. It's drug-induced, you know, I mean, it's the drug trainings and the reactiveness of, you know, the biggest bully wins and all the warring and blah, blah, blah. Well, the sole purpose of each person actually is humanitarian. It's beautiful. It's loving. It's creative, joyful children of God.
Well, I think I would like to have more of a comprehensive explanation of it. We can't do that right now.
Okay.
But I thank you for sharing that. And if you would, get back to me with an email and give me a little debriefing on it.
I will.
Thank you.
New jobs that focus on love and light. It's the best medicine. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll write you. Bye.
Bye-bye. The times of transition can be extremely uncomfortable for those that need to, you know, to change.
I mean,
this is not going to be, I mean, it's interesting that the theme of both candidates, with Obama himself more so, this idea of change. Well, that's nothing new.
Yeah.
The question is, what does
change,
he want?
Change to what?
Change to what, exactly. I know what my opinion is, but that's not really important. I think the kind of change that we're talking about here, it was the caller just talked about, goes far beyond anything these politicians are attempting to put into place.
Yeah.
They're still stuck. I mean, an old friend of mine used to say, what party you want, Socialist Party A or Socialist Party B?
And, you know, that whole subject has really come up, and Ron Paul talked about this. You know, they're starting to smear this last week. Palin and others started to smear Obama as a socialist,
right?
And the socialism word came up, and it was interesting. Ron Paul saying that, you know, we call it socialism, but it's actually what we're seeing is fascism.
That's right.
And fascism isn't coming from Obama; it's coming from a government where there's been collusion of big business with big government, which is the classic definition of fascism. When the state and the and the business, you know, industry merge with their vested interests for bigger business and bigger government, you know, for bigger control, ownership and control of citizen wealth, you know, or, you know, for American wealth, that's fascism. And they're using the socialism term, it's amazing, to smear, it's just like the hypnosis thing. You've got these people that have got, they've always been Republicans, you know, they believe religiously in the Republic.
Well, you could imagine a candidate calling another candidate a fascist. I mean,
that
people
happen.
Are not going to handle that. They're not going to be. They're going to turn off completely. They won't even listen to the next sentence.
But in the interest,
socialist, at least, okay. Well, what do you mean?
You
and you know, there is one actual socialist in our legislature. He's a confirmed socialist. He states that that's his party. That's his thing.
Yeah.
And you know, okay, there's somebody out there. At least it exists.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not, but yeah, you start getting a fascist. Even the word communist is no longer.
Communists are no longer. But it's interesting because you know the Nazi Party under Hitler was called themselves the National Socialist Party. But the first
right.
people they went after were trade unionists, which is to say the socialists.
Yeah.
In other words, and this is the thing. There's this use of words, and the people don't even understand how they're being played. But as Ron Paul explains, socialism is nationalizing an industry to finance services to all citizens, such as transportation, infrastructure, telecommunications, education, healthcare, police, fire departments. You know, it finances services for citizens. Socialism is when government defends people from corporations. That's not that bad, you know, when I say from corporations, from profiteering, in the name of social benefits. It's not the profiteering, as in the case from corporations, where the first law of the corporations is profits become before the public whenever, shareholder profits come before the public whenever profits are at stake. But understanding fascism is corporate control of government, corporate control of voting systems. Okay, I guess we're going to run a conclusion here, so we're going to have to do a wrap.
Okay.
But it was good to have you on, Dennis.
Good. Well, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and as always, good talking about the times in which.
It was good to have you on. Let's do it again sometime.
Good. Thanks a lot, Chris.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There's a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense, and it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule, law, language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where light workers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.
Yeah, no, I'm on the air. Hi, how you doing? This is Wesley Snipes, and I'm sitting here with my Pleiadian and Andromedan friends. And, you know, we were just kicking it, talking about a little extraterrestrial kind of a thing. We're having a little party together. Everybody's coming through from the galaxy. But, of course, you got to get the right direction, so we got to have the right vibration. Right vibrations is listening to Dr. Fred Bell and the Health and Sciences show on VBSRadio.com. Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. Go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?